So my name is Jonathan Gosser Brennan. I am 14 years old. Today is November 28th of 2019, and I'm speaking with Crystal, my step-grandma, and we're recording in Los Angeles, California. So I just prepared some questions.
Yeah, yes.
We can ask you. So do you remember the first time we met? I don't remember.
Yes, I remember when your grandfather and I, after your grandmother died.
Yeah.
So your grandmother and I were good friends.
Right. Yeah.
And so then I must have met you at a family gathering, family dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then when your grandfather and I got married.
Yeah.
You were one of the ring bearers.
I remember that, this like elephant thing.
And
yeah.
I had bought these little, at the Fowler Museum, I had bought these little, it was just little boxes.
Yeah.
Which had, you had a
giraffe. I think we still
giraffe,
have it actually.
Giraffe
yeah.
or an elephant,
yeah.
both of you. And you looked, both were very cute. We still have all these nice photographs of that. Yeah, that was very, so that's, but I had met you before already. That must have been at a fall or so, in the fall sometime.
How did you know my grandma?
So your grandmother, when she developed breast cancer.
Right.
I didn't know her at that time, but your father's colleague, whose wife was a colleague of mine, had asked, your grandmother had asked, what do you know about being treated at UCLA? So the woman, the wife of the professor at the Anderson School, her name is Sherry. She was a professor, or is still a professor at the department where I'm in.
Yeah.
And she said, okay, I know I have a colleague, and she had breast cancer, and she was treated at UCLA. So maybe she can be a better person to tell you how UCLA is for that. So that's how I came in contact with your grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And then, over the years, we became very good friends because we kept, in touch. And that's how I met your grandfather, too. And I'm trying to remember if, I don't think we ever, saw each other then during that time.
I don't remember
that. You were very little,
really.
So we became such good friends, and I had the good fortune of, not having recurrences of breast cancer, and your grandmother did, but she was so courageous and always positive and was always, optimistic. And then when she died after 11 years, actually I had a friend in Holland who had the same type of, the way it went after 11 years she died.
Yeah.
My friend in Holland died too.
Mm-hmm.
So I had become good friends with your grandmother and with your grandfather.
Yeah.
And so that's how he and I met. But and in the meantime, my first husband had died a long time before that, in 1997.
Okay.
And your grandmother was diagnosed in 1996. With breast cancer, and she was so nice after my first husband died, Carrie. Then she invited me for like Easter dinner, but you, I think at that time, weren't born yet, probably.
Yeah.
So I knew her very well, and so I was a widow, and your grandfather was a widower, but we just did some things together, go to concerts, and then he asked me to marry him, and I was kind of, I never wanted to get remarried because I had a good, very good marriage, with Carrie.
Right.
But anyway, here we are,
yes,
and we are very happy.
Yeah.
happy. And I'm very happy because now I have this family of you and Aiden and your parents. And, you know, I am an only child, so I have no brothers or sisters.
Okay.
So it's all of a sudden I have this big family. So I'm very happy about that. So that's that story.
So what do you do at your work in UCLA?
So I came originally, as I told you, I came for 1 year to Los Angeles, and that was in 1974. And I was trained in the Netherlands as a pediatrician. And I came for a fellowship at Children's Hospital of Los Angeles, where I was just going to be for 1 year or 2 years maybe. And then I stayed because I had met my first husband, Kerry. And so I, you know, did actually clinical work in dialysis and kidney transplantation in children. And then our whole group of, you know, physicians moved over to UCLA. And so I then decided that I wanted to learn more about basic immunology rather than doing clinical work. So I was actually, one of the person who was the chair of the Department of Microbiology and Immunology actually took me on as a postdoctoral fellow. And so I learned, had to learn a lot of basic science because I never had like the training as a PhD like your mother has, right? So I had to really, you know, learn a lot. I felt like when I would go to a lecture in immunology, I didn't understand half what they're talking about. So that was kind of, I always knew everything they talked about in lectures, clinical lectures, but not in, in this one. So, but I enjoyed it very much. So I stayed in basic research and I got my own laboratory and, you know, the last, since the mid-80s or so, late 80s, I have been involved in immunology, in the immune system, the developing immune system, and also how HIV infection affects that. So the developing immune system, I'm talking about where the T cells go to school, that meaning in the thymus, you know, they are being educated there. And so I, that's what I'm still working on. At the moment,
I think my mom works on HIV for a time.
Yeah,
too.
She worked because I got her in touch with one of my colleagues.
Oh, okay.
And so she talked to her, and even though she didn't, you know, your mom didn't have very much experience in HIV.
Yeah.
I think the two hit it off, and, and she did well, and then.
Yeah.
So that was very nice.
My mom said you were a doctor in Suriname.
Oh, when I did my training in Holland, you know, you have to do, you have to do also rotating internships.
Okay.
So you do everything. I mean, not like here where you're already specialized to go to pediatrics or to surgery or whatever as in a, as a resident. You have to do everything, but you know some of the sections are, you know, shorter than others. So I decided to go for my obstetrics and gynecology internship to Suriname. Because Suriname used to be a colony of the Netherlands.
Netherlands, yeah.
But by that time it was actually quite independent already. But yeah, so I had to deliver babies there, which were was a very different, you know, a way of what we were accustomed to, because you know, we had no, actually no, you know, disposable gloves. We had you know, needles and syringes needed to be sterilized. But I learned a lot. I really learned a lot. So it was a very interesting time, and there were other interns there too. And so we did things together. We went, you know, you know, bring mail to a, you know, a geology camp in the jungle, things like that. So it was a really interesting time. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. What other internships did you do? If you went around them.
Well, I the other ones like surgery, internal medicine, pediatrics, ENT, ophthalmology. those all I did did all in Leiden. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you enjoy about your HIV research?
Well, I enjoy the challenge of it, and you know, working with the students and the postdocs, and you know, the challenge of, you know, having a better understanding of what it does to the immune system. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the whole aspect of immunology a lot, and it's just that I got drawn into HIV because that was a, and still is, you know, a big problem.
Yeah.
So that's what it's, you know, and it's, you know, it's in the United States we are fortunate, but in this, you know, the rest of the world it's not, right? It's a hard thing still for people to deal with.
I'm sure running a whole lab is, you know, a lot of work.
Yeah, well, what is hard is writing grants.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, my whole kind of operation it depends on grants, grant support. Yeah, so it's hard when you cannot get a grant, then you cannot do the project, and so you have to pay basically for your own salary, or at least part of totally for it, and for anybody who works in your lab, and then for all the supplies, which are not cheap.
Yeah.
So it's like having a little business,
and
if there's no money coming in, it's not so great.
Well, you got grants recently, right?
Just now I got a grant, is very nice, yeah.
You lived in the Netherlands for a long time in your childhood. How does it compare with the U.S., like, socially?
What was surprising to me when I came here, that there were children who had health insurance, which is just appalling to me. I mean, in Holland, everybody has insurance. So that was very, very sad to see, and it's still sad to see.
That was the biggest difference.
The biggest difference. I think people in the Netherlands are probably more able to take a step back, you know, on the, like on a weekend if they are not on call, or you know, have, they are able to more relax.
Okay. I think a lot of people say that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and the other thing is, in between, you know, in that particular Los Angeles, you have to have a car, right, to go anywhere. In Holland, you take your bicycle, you walk, you go on the train, you know, that's all you have, you know, that's how everybody, little kids, you know, everybody does it. So that's a big difference, I find.
Yeah. Have you only lived in LA in America?
Yeah.
Or? Okay. So maybe it's just LA or...
Yeah, LA is certainly bad.
For
public transportation, right?
Yeah. Taking the subway a couple of times, yeah.
You know that.
So it's kind of a big topic, but do you have anything like about your childhood or just like an overview?
Well, my parents really, I mean, my parents sent me to a very good elementary school, because where we lived at that time, the elementary school wasn't very good, so I had to take the bus, and my because I was the only child, particularly my mother was always very worried that she would spoil me, so she did the opposite, I guess. So actually, when I went to elementary school, my mother took me on the bus the first morning, and then and I would come back for lunch, because it wasn't very far, but it was not walkable. Later on I bicycled, but so then in the afternoon I said to my mother, oh, I can go by myself.
Yeah.
And she was so courageous that she let me do that. I think that's pretty courageous, right? Because I was still 5 at that time. I turned 6 pretty soon, but I was still 5 years old. So my parents always stimulated me to, you know, to work hard, clearly, to do well in school. I went to gymnasium, which is like a prep school in Rotterdam. I bicycled there, clearly. When I said that I wanted to study medicine, my parents said that was fine, you know, I should do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I should finish it. You know, you don't just start it and then. So that I always admired it. And then when I went to the United, you know, when I went to Suriname, when I went to the United States originally for 1 year, it was very, you know, for them it must have been hard, but they never made any problem with it. They really, and they came actually every year. They came for about 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
So that was nice. Mm-hmm. So I could see them. Probably you saw them more that way than if I would have lived in the Netherlands, when I would just have gone for a meal or whatever, right? Mm. Yeah.
So you've liked medicine from a young age,
actually. Yeah, very young age. I guess I had an example of the wife of a colleague of my father who was a pediatrician.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that sounds interesting.
So you just went straight into it?
Yeah, I went straight into it. Right, yeah.
That's cool. So yeah, obviously you've lived in many places, and it's kind of a hard question maybe, but where is your favorite place to live? You could.
I think that's hard to say, because, you know, I love, you know, living in Malibu because it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I love living in Leiden, you know, where we have a little apartment there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to say. I like to be in a place where you can walk, you know, where you can also, you know, have fun walking and do. What I miss in the United States is that, you know, distances are long, and that, you know, you just don't take your bicycle and go see a friend, right?
Yeah.
For, you know, just for a cup of tea or, you know, a glass of wine or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So here it's always more of a trip.
How did you come across that house? It's really nice.
Well, Carrie and I lived in a tiny little house on the beach, which he had he rented it, but he had made, it was actually a one-room house, but he has really made it beautiful because he was trained as an architect.
Oh, okay.
So he, and then actually we had several storms, you know, big storms in 78, so we basically needed to move out of there, and we rented some places in the meantime, and then we were looking for a house and we couldn't really afford very much, but the house, which you know is basically was kind of a, you know, very very badly taken care of, so people at that time, it was in 87, weren't really interested in buying that. But since Carrie, you know, could see what could be done and what we could do ourselves.
Yeah.
So over the years we have done a lot.
I think that's kind of like our house actually. My dad bought it really cheap and then fixed up most of it.
Yeah, and then you have to continue, you know, keeping up the maintenance, which was hard after Carrie died because I didn't have enough money to do that. But now, you know, now it's getting back to where it should be. Yeah, the same as your dad. Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Also a wooden house.
Okay, well, that's all of my pre-recorded questions. Do you have anything else? Like, you said you would maybe think about some things that you wanted to say?
I think what I told you was, that I came for 1 year and here I am, right? And that I'm so happy having, you know, you and Aiden and Chaya and Chandani as grandchildren, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, your parents and, you know, Aiden. The other kids, you know, Michael's kids, you know, it's wonderful to have a big family, which I never had.
Right.
Yeah, so that's really, you know, what I want to say. So thank you for Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Okay, maybe we'll wrap it up.
Okay, good.